The Tom Woods Show, episode 1004.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, add a new skill to your resume the easy and convenient way with Skillshare, an online learning community with over 16,000 classes in design, business, and more. Get your first month free at Skillshare.com/Woods. Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. 2 days in a row, I am featuring an author whose book is released the day of the episode. Today's book release is by Chris Guillebeau, who returns for his third appearance on the show. His book is called Side Hustle, From Idea to Income in 27 Days. Chris Guillebeau, as you may know, is an entrepreneur, writer, speaker, and world traveler. He has visited every country in the world. He did so before his 35th birthday. He's the New York Times best-selling author of other books, including The $100 Startup, Reinvent the Way You Make a Living, Do What You Love, and Create a New Future. But today, as I say, I want to talk about his new book released just today called Side Hustle, From Idea to Income in 27 Days. Chris, welcome back.
Thank you so much. It's a huge honor.
You know, it's fun to have a guest who writes books often enough that, you know, I get to talk to you periodically, just for a book each time.
And it's very nice that you keep having me back. I appreciate it.
Yeah, well, I'm always glad to do it. And of course, it was fun to get to see you in Denver in, I guess, the early part of, maybe it was still like late winter of 2016.
Right.
At the Tattered Cover bookstore there. And it was a great crowd and event, and I was glad to get a chance to meet you. And, man, you've got quite a following. That place was packed. Is that just how it always is for you?
It's how it often is, but not all the time. I'm sure that's how it is for you as well.
And oh, sure.
I have to say, and I think I told you before, but I actually run into your listeners pretty much everywhere I go, which is fantastic.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks.
One of the very few shows I do where I consistently go across the country and, you know, in all kinds of different cities, people are coming up and saying, I heard about you on the Tom Woods Show. And I'm like, that's awesome. That's great. So thank you for that.
I'm going to ask you something you may not want to answer, and I would totally understand, and nobody would hold it against you. And maybe I'd even edit it out. Who knows? But I have to say, after being at your event, I could see, first of all, you're building something at these events. You're building something. You're building a community. You're building people up. You're building ideas. You're doing something tangible and rewarding. But I have to say, I was sitting there, and I hope you'll forgive me for this, thinking, could he monetize this better?
So I absolutely could monetize it better. I absolutely could. And, you know, I am an entrepreneur, so I'm pro-entrepreneurship, pro-free market, pro-making money. Of course, for me, it's just a question of priorities and time. And I'm pretty much like a one-man shop. You know, I don't have an enterprise. I don't have like a ton of people working for me or anything like that. So I absolutely could monetize it better, but I'm very fortunate in that I love what I do. I am actually able to make a good living as an author, so I'm happy.
Boy, that is so rare to be able to say that. I can make a good living as an author. I get so many people telling me they're going to write a book and retire on the royalties, and I just, you know, I just hate to tell them. You know, I just let them.
Right.
I mean, honestly, people think it's a lot easier, and they think books sell better than they actually do.
Right.
They would
yeah,
be
there's
shocked
a lot of
by the real figures.
Yeah. A lot of misconceptions about how books sell and how much authors get paid for them and all that. But
a book can be a good side hustle, and that's the topic for today. Side hustle, from idea to income in 27 days. So you've arranged this book as, in a way, like a 27-day challenge, and each day somebody is doing something to further an idea that you, through the book, have helped them develop. So let's start off with, why a side hustle? The easiest question of the whole discussion.
Yeah, well, I wrote this book specifically for people who have jobs or people who are otherwise really busy, who have a lot of responsibilities and don't necessarily want to be an entrepreneur. They don't necessarily want to, you know, quit their job tomorrow, take what is a big risk or what is perceived to be a big risk. You know, they can't do that. Maybe they don't want to do that, et cetera. But they definitely want more than one source of income. Like, they understand that a side hustle is not just nice. It's necessary in this day and age for all sorts of reasons, you know, for all sorts of, you know, reasons of protecting yourself and building more security, more confidence, et cetera. But also just because it's great to have money coming in from a different source other than your paycheck. And so I really wanted to focus and kind of just delve into that whole concept. And it's my whole year, in fact. Like, I'm doing a 100-city tour for this book. On January 1, I started a daily podcast, you know, following in your footsteps, basically. And every day on the show, I'm telling a different story of an employee who starts a side hustle, income generating project without quitting their day job. You know, how do they do it? What do they learn? How much money do they make? And all that. And I'm finding that people are really responding to it. So I'm glad that I've kind of jumped into this.
I'll definitely link to your podcast. The show notes page will be tomwoods.com/1004, so 1004. Of course, I'm going to link to Side Hustle there. I'll link to the podcast. Before we get into the book further, though, do you ever worry that you're going to run out of these people? How do you find them? Do they contact you?
Yeah, most of them are coming to us now. Like when I started, I did worry about that for sure. I mean, I think I had maybe 30 of them identified in advance and another 20 like possibilities. But my hope was in starting that the show would eventually become self-sustaining and that a lot of people, a lot of the stories that we feature on the show would actually be people who started listening in January and then actually started their project and now we're talking about it. So right now it's about 25% of the stories on the show are coming from the listeners. So I think that's great because it's kind of proof of concept. It shows that, you know, even if you are a busy person, if you want to invest in yourself, if you can spend 20 minutes a day, there is something that you can build, and it's probably going to be able to do that using the skills that you already have, using the life experience that you have. So essentially, it's like, it's not just, you know, telling my story or some famous person's story, but like every day just presenting like this story of somebody that hopefully you can relate to. And so far, so good. But yes, I do still worry. I always worry.
Well, a lot of times in these cases, people have ideas that they're not really aware are ideas. They have knowledge that they're not aware other people would want to pay for, or they have the potential for a product or whatever. So the key thing at the very beginning of the book is trying to figure out what your idea is going to be. And here's where a lot of skepticism will come in, because people will open the book saying, I don't have any ideas and I'm not sure a book can help me generate them. So what kind of advice do you give people who feel like they have nothing?
Well, I think everyone has something, and I think everyone is an expert at something. And I think the wrong approach to starting a side hustle is to go out and try to acquire a map. And I'm like, oh, okay, have you done that before? Do you know how to code? Like, do you have a background in that? And I'm like, no, but I hear everybody's making an app, you know, so I should make an app. I think it's much better to look at the skills you already have, like I said, and like you know, who are you? What do you do for work? If you went to college, what did you study? And not just that kind of stuff, but also like, what do people ask you about? Like, what are you the authority of expert on? There's probably something there that we can pull out. And so, as you said, the whole first section of the book is all about teaching people where ideas come from. Like, where do good side hustle ideas come from? How do you understand what makes an idea viable? And this is a skill that anyone can learn. Like, this is not that complicated. This is something that if you can master this like skill of curiosity and being willing to ask good questions, it can serve you well for the rest of your life, no matter what you end up doing.
Now, I realize this may be a bit of a spoiler, but because people really should go through the exercises that you're proposing, but just in case people are worried that this, you know, like so many books in this type of genre, might just be platitudes rather than actionable advice, on pages 34 to 35, you actually say, all right, look, if you're completely at your wit's end, I've got some ideas for you and you could use these.
Right.
But so there is a, that. But you really do have an excellent way of going through taking people where they are and helping them realize what they've got. Now, they're not all going to be quite as startling as an example you give of a fellow in San Francisco who was stuck in, you know, horrible San Francisco traffic every day and realized that, wait a minute, this is a potential opportunity. Maybe I can help people navigate horrible San Francisco traffic in one way or another. He turned that into a side hustle, which I think is now his main source of income.
Right, right. Yeah, I think he's doing something like $7,000 or $8,000 a month from that. You know, and there are a lot of stories like that. I mean, I have a lot of six-figure side hustle stories of people who, again, you know, start without investment. They don't have funding. They're working a regular job when they do it. That's kind of the key point. Because there's lots of entrepreneurial success stories of people like risking everything and investing their life savings, but trying to focus on people like where they are, you know, doing something with the resources available to them. So yes, not every story is like that. My minimum criteria is for the show, for the book, for this process that I teach, my minimum criteria is $500 a month. Like, I don't want anyone to read the book or follow the podcast, go through this 27-day plan and not be able to make at least $500 a month from their project in a pretty short period of time. And I hope that they can go on to do much more than that. But I just kind of chose that number because, you know, it's not a huge amount of money, but it is meaningful. It is significant. And especially if you've never done this before, if all your income has always been from a paycheck, it just feels really great. And I hear that all the time from people who are like, oh, yeah, you know, like I started this little project. I set up a PayPal account and I didn't know how to make a website, but actually wasn't that hard to learn how to use WordPress or Squarespace or whatever the resource was. And somebody came and signed up for my product, or they, you know, took my course or whatever it was. So it just feels really good. It's so empowering. And I think it's just, you know, net positive for everyone who does it.
One of the things you're encouraging in here is a way of thinking that is obvious when you say it, but it's a way that we don't often think, which is you're in a situation, you should look around and say, the people I'm encountering here, what do they need? What do they want? What would make their lives easier? And then you start thinking in terms of what could I do to satisfy these things? Whereas I think sometimes we're inclined to think, like I watch the old TV show, The Honeymooners, and Ralph has always come up with these harebrained schemes that always fail because not only are they preposterous, but he never has the consumer in mind. It's always, I'd like to do this. This sounds like fun. This seems easy. But that's not how a product succeeds, whether you enjoy it or whether it's easy or whatever. It's what does the consumer need?
Right, exactly. So that's perfect. So I'm trying to think, take people through this like rational, logical, analytical process, you know, that you have to create something that has market value, like obviously. But I think you also have to create something that you're excited about, right? You have to have your own motivations for it, because a lot of people listening, they probably have a day job. You know, hopefully that day job is not miserable, but the whole idea is like you're not just working 40 hours a week and going to work another part-time job, because that's just going to stress you out, eventually burn you out. The whole idea is like a side hustle is an asset. It's something that you're building for yourself. You look forward to it. You know, you are eager to, you know, finish your work or get up 30 minutes earlier every day and work on it. So I think it's important to have both qualities.
Talk about your distinction between starter ideas and next level ideas.
Yeah. So when a lot of people think about side hustle, like this term is kind of in the popular culture now, and you know, I'm trying to one attach myself to it, but also kind of define it a bit because it means a lot of different things. I think a lot of people think of a side hustle as doing something like driving for Uber, for example, or selling something on Etsy or eBay or one of these kind of auction sites, using somebody else's platform. And there's lots of different platforms you can go to and get started right away. There's a site called Fiverr.com, and you can go and people are like buying and selling services. You can do something very simple. You can register today and probably have a client by the end of the week. So that's great, but it's a starter platform, meaning that you're probably not going to make a lot of money doing it. And the whole site Fiverr, you know, by its name, it actually has services that are for sale for $5. So it's pretty hard to, you know, have a successful even side business at $5 a customer. So when I say it's a starter platform, I think it's totally fine to experiment with that. And again, if you've never done it before, it can be fun. It's like a hobby that pays you money. But in the long term, like what I want to help people do is, as I said, create something that they have ownership over. Create something that they have built themselves that they can look at and said, you know, I made that and I can go to sleep tonight and wake up tomorrow morning and maybe I won't have made $10,000 in the morning, but wouldn't it be great if I made $100? And so that's what I'm trying to help people do. And you don't get that, you know, when you're driving for Uber, or, you know, you don't usually get that when you're participating in someone else's platform.
So let's say you've got the idea. That's only half the battle, because then the other half is, first of all, alerting people to the existence of whatever it is you're offering. And then even before you do that, you have to, in some way, sell the idea. You've got to write sales copy or publicize it in some way. This sounds like a lot of work. How do you navigate people through that?
I mean, it's a fair amount of work, but I try to simplify it. You know, I never want to tell people that something is easy. You know, like I don't use that word easy, but I do use the word simple in terms of like you take a complex concept and like what is the essence of it? What do you really need to do? That's why I made it, you know, 27 days, you know, one step a day, do this, do that. So people tend to struggle with one of two things. And you talked about the first thing, people don't have an idea. And then the other thing that people tend to struggle with is I've got plenty of ideas. Like ideas are not my problem. I don't know like what makes, you know, what is the best idea for me at this time? And then how do I bring it into reality? So one of the things that I try to do for the second part is when people have ideas, you know, I try to show them that ideas themselves don't have much value. Like lots of people are walking around with all kinds of ideas. People don't buy and sell ideas. Like people buy and sell products and services. So quickly as possible, like in this process, as you begin to think through like what your idea is going to be, what project you're going to pursue, I want to encourage people to go from idea to offer. And an offer is what people pay for. So an offer is that product. It is that service. It's like, you know, you give me this amount of money and this is what you're going to get in return. Like going to tangible terms, not platitudes, as you said, is really critical. And so basically, as you think of different ideas, like start thinking about them in terms of offers. And there's a process that I take people through in the book to do that.
Are we aiming here at offers that bring about recurring income? And if so, how do I take something that I've got and convert it into something that can generate recurring income?
Yes. I think recurring income is fantastic for all sorts of reasons, of course. Just being able to count on something, be able to say, like, you know, next month I have, you know, X amount of dollars coming in. And I think even if that amount is lower than, you know, what you could actually actively create or some kind of product launch or something, I think it's almost, you know, just better because it's more sustainable. I don't think that every project or every service, product, et cetera, is going to necessarily kind of lend itself to that. So to me, it's more about like, what are you trying to create for yourself? Well, first of all, let's even back up and say, what are your goals, you know, for having a side hustle? Because some people just want to make some extra cash. Some people want to pay off debt or save for a vacation or something else. Other people really are trying to build like this sustainable, you know, income source that can give them more options in the future, whether they eventually want to do it full time or not. So yeah, and those kind of things, it's helpful to think, okay, how can I create something that people are going to have an ongoing need for? Not just something that people buy once, but something that people are going to need on a recurring basis. And if they do need it on a recurring basis, why shouldn't they pay for it on a recurring basis? So thinking about it in those kind of terms can help you maybe be more successful or kind of get on the right track sooner.
And then, now, I don't mean to sound like we're getting ahead of ourselves here, but you know, we only have so much time to talk about so many things. At some point, if your offer can work this way, you want to offer, let's say, a basic package, but then offer something better and even something better than that for people who want and can afford the higher tier services. And I just this weekend talked to a guy who's extremely successful both in affiliate marketing and in creating his own digital products. And he said his biggest mistake when he created his first digital product was no upsells. He just sold one straight thing and that was it. But upsells can increase your income and help somebody make even better use of what you're selling them. So do you encourage that?
Absolutely. I would encourage you to do it from the very beginning, actually. I would encourage you, like, when you're developing something, you know, always give people a choice. Like, don't give people too much choice because that gets overwhelming. Like, you don't want to say, like, here's eight different versions of this product. You know, I almost worry that Apple is kind of getting into that with all the different iPhones and things. But I do think having a little bit of choice is good. And obviously, when you have choice, most likely, you know, one of those choices is going to be more expensive. And having the basic version, the premium version, that's a very natural, simple thing that just everybody can do. When you're developing your first product, just think about, you know, all the different features you could include. And then split those a little bit and say, okay, here's what's basic, here's what's essential. I'm going to have this, you know, in my widget, it's going to need to have these three features. But there's these two other things that I could do, but they're not necessary. Like, some people might value them, others might not. Well, I'm going to put those in the premium or the deluxe version. And so my basic one might cost $49, my deluxe one might cost, you know, $77, $89, whatever it is. If you do that, like, over time, you, just by the nature of how conversion and pricing works, you're going to make a lot more money. So that's something that I think everybody should be doing for sure.
Let's make sure this is concrete enough for people. Give me a few specific examples of side hustles that don't require super specialized knowledge and that seem accessible.
Yeah. So we started by talking about the guy in San Francisco who, you know, made the traffic solution. I think that's a little bit more advanced. So let's talk about, there's a woman in Texas. She's actually from Spain, but her fiance is from Texas. They live there now. A couple years ago, they were on this trip. She's also a dog lover, by the way. You and I like cats, but you know, she's really into dogs. So she said, wouldn't it be cool if there was like an Airbnb for dogs? And when their owners went away, you know, their dogs could come and get cared for. And it's not like a kennel, like they're going to have, you know, a good situation. They're going to be in a home. They'll get photos of them. So she actually created an Airbnb for dogs. And now in Austin, Texas, every day, she's taking dogs into her home and people are paying like $50 a day for this. So on an average day, she's making $200 on the side just by doing this. So obviously, this is like an offline project. This is something that, you know, you have to be into dogs to do. It's not necessarily recurring income, some of the things that we're talking about, but it's something that she likes, right? It's something that's meaningful to her. Another example, let's talk about like sustainable income, something that people kind of, you know, something that people can maybe relate to in terms of like a long-term goal. So there's a woman in Florida, actually, who's a marketing director. And she wanted to purchase like these personalized candy hearts for her clients. Like you see on Valentine's Day, they have a little like Be Mine or whatever. She wanted to make these hearts with the clients' names. So she started looking for this on Google and didn't find, you know, a lot of options. When she finally found a manufacturer on like page 6 of the results, they had a terrible website. They were kind of unresponsive. So she started actually reselling. She thought, I can do this better. She's a marketer. She created a little basic website, you know, 3 pages, put it up. Within a week or two, she's actually getting a much better ranking in Google than that manufacturer did because she knew what she was doing. So long story short, and I could go into the whole thing in the book, but long story short, she keeps pursuing this. And over about a year and a half, she builds this business to $100,000 a year. And it's $100,000 seasonally because almost all the business takes place around Valentine's Day. So she actually likes her job. She's still going to work, but she has this like very sustainable, very significant, you know, side income. And she talks about how she, you know, if she didn't want to go to work anymore, she wouldn't have to. Or if that situation changed, now she's got this other thing. So lots of different ways to have a side hustle, lots of different goals people have for them, whether it's, you know, looking after dogs, but doing it in a smart way that you're actually getting paid well for, or building this kind of thing that can serve you well no matter what you do for the rest of your life.
More good stuff to come with Chris Guillebeau after we thank our sponsor. One of the great things about the internet age is that you can learn a new skill without having to go to some crummy night class, drive all over town. You can learn from the comfort of your own home. And Skillshare is an excellent place to start. It's great for professionals who are looking to get a leg up at work, and also for people who want to work for themselves and just learn a skill that they can market online. Skillshare is an online learning community with over 16,000 classes in design, business, and more. You can learn everything from logo design to social media marketing to street photography. You get unlimited access to all of this for a low monthly price. You don't have to pay per class. You get everything. In design, for example, you could learn Adobe Illustrator or logo design or typography or animation. In photography, you could learn photo editing or street photography, along with marketing, entrepreneurship, you name it. Skillshare is giving Tom Woods Show listeners a month of unlimited access absolutely free. So check it out. Head over to Skillshare.com/Woods to redeem your free month. That's Skillshare.com/Woods. At one point in the book, you're talking about when people are trying to convey the idea of their product or their service, that they should tell a story. Instead of just listing a bunch of features and stuff, they should tell a story. Now, what kind of a story should they be telling?
Yeah, I think the example I gave with that is this couple who went to Nepal on their honeymoon, and they bought some cashmere scarves there and came back to, I think they were in Canada, came back and resold them in Canada, ended up creating this pretty sustainable, I think it was $2,000 to $3,000 a month, you know, side business with that. So there's a couple of different ways to tell that story, you know, and they could just say like, hey, we went and bought some stuff like overseas in Asia and came back and resold it, which is all factually correct. Nothing wrong with that. You know, it's fine. But the way that they told their story, which is also true, is like they met and they fell in love, and she was originally from Nepal and he had never been. So they went to meet her family, and they actually went out in the village and they met some shepherds, and these people had been like working in the cashmere industry before it was an industry, you know, for hundreds of years, because this is where cashmere comes from. And they decided, well, what if we bought this and brought this back home, and maybe people at home would like this as well, because in Canada and the US, cashmere is also valued, but people pay a pretty high price for it, whereas here we can get it for much less. And if we do this, we can do this in a way that also supports girls' education in Nepal. So we can do well for ourselves, we can do well for other people. Like, that's the story they ended up telling. And they created this little business called Kerala Cashmere. And because of that story, they were able to get featured in lots of media. You know, people are much more inclined to support that kind of business. So both stories are true, but by focusing a lot more on the origin story of like, why did you do this? Like, what are your real motivations? What else is going on here? I think that's just much, much more effective.
Yeah. And I think we miss that. We overlook that because sometimes we don't appreciate how interesting our story is. And secondly, we think, well, I have something to sell, so I should be talking all about how this thing and how great it is. But the story is what makes, first of all, good email marketing better than bad, because everybody's email inbox is filled with this product is 50% off for 3 days. Hurry up and go get it. But if your emails tell stories, then they're the ones people are going to read. So it's good advice overall. So now let's say I've gone ahead, I've taken your advice, I've gone through a bunch of these days. Let's say I'm at, you know, day 22 or 3 or something. And now I'm getting to the point where I want to assess what I've accomplished up to now. And let's say it's not going so well. The trouble is, how do I know whether it's not going so well because the idea is crummy, or it's not going so well because I'm just not a good marketer, but the idea is good? How do I pinpoint what my problem is?
Yeah, great question. So part of what I'm trying to teach people or encourage them to do is to get started quickly. That's why it's 27 days. I think people focus far too much on idea validation, which is a very like traditional business concept or a startup concept. It's like before you pursue your idea, you must validate it in all sorts of ways. I mean, I present a lot of stories in the Side Hustle book that there would be no way to validate some of these ideas, you know, before people try them. Like there's a guy who makes $700 a month from a blog he wrote about fish tanks, like fish tank reviews from a few years ago. And he hasn't touched this blog in like 3 years. He's still earning $700 a month from it, you know, on a regular basis. Got this other story about a professional bridesmaid, like a woman who's like, I'm going to become a bridesmaid for hire, ends up building a $200,000 side business from it. No way to validate that idea. It sounds totally crazy, but obviously, you know, she validated it by doing it. So first things first, you know, get started quickly. Second, I think what people miss in this whole process of like, I'm going to start a side business. They understand they need to have an idea. They know they have to figure out how to put it out somehow, but they really miss this stage of kind of regrouping, which is like the whole fifth week of my program, like regroup and refine and look at what's happening. And when you put something out into the world, like, I don't know what your experience has been for all your projects, but for me, like most of the time, it's not just like it's amazing or it's a huge failure. It's often like somewhere in the middle. And it's like it works a little bit, but it could obviously work a lot better if I did something else to it, perhaps. Or it's working a little bit, but is this really the best use of my time, you know, my focus? Maybe there's something else. So I try to think of this whole like side hustle process as a continuous education, like a continuous cycle, a continuous model. And you're always kind of learning and always tweaking, and always kind of going back. And so when you come to that point of like, I've got it out there, do I go back to the beginning? You know, do I go on? You can ask yourself some questions. Is it working? Like, am I still excited about this? Like, now with what I've learned, maybe is one of my other ideas better? But again, you're continuously experimenting, so you're not just getting stuck.
I think people will really enjoy going through this book. They won't. Some of these books where it's a, you know, in your case, it's 27 days, but it's a series of exercises. It can be kind of harrowing and difficult, but I think these are all really interesting and enjoyable exercises to go through. And plus, it's exciting because you're building towards something that can turn out to be very exciting and even life-changing for you. So tell me, normally you have a website for each book. So is sidehustleschool.com where I should send people?
Yeah, that's probably the best place. At sidehustleschool.com, you can check out the podcast. You can learn about the book. And I'm also doing a 100-city tour, where, as mentioned, I'd love to see some Tom Woods listeners out and about.
The book is Side Hustle, From Idea to Income in 27 Days. The website, sidehustleschool.com. I'll also be linking to the book and to that site at tomwoods.com/1004. Well, best of luck on your 100-city tour. And it's exciting that you're doing something that you enjoy so much and that is clearly going to help people. This Side Hustle book is so practical and so fun to do step by step. It's definitely going to help people. They're going to enjoy doing it. And congratulations.
Thank you so much, Tom. Always a pleasure.
All right, that's going to do it for today. Just a reminder, this coming Saturday, which is September 23rd, 2017, I'll be speaking in Melbourne, Florida. Then the following weekend, September 30th, is, of course, the 1,000th episode event. Yes, I know we're already at episode 1,004. We had to skip episode 1,000 when we had to reschedule due to the hurricane. We're still recording episode 1,000, though, in a free event in Orlando, September 30th. Then the weekend after that, I'll be speaking in New York City for the 35th anniversary of the Mises Institute. And then I think it's November 3rd and 4th, I'll be speaking in Baltimore at the H.L. Mencken Club. Details on most of these, I'll get everything up soon, but details on most of these events are available, as always, at tomwoods.com/events. See you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.